Doc, any questions for Dr. Warren?
I do have a question, but a comment regarding the TV coverage tomorrow. It's unfortunate that it's so late because I'm sure that the timing will affect the ability of stations that will get the feed to sell and to get sponsorship to allow it to be spread further. But I'd like you to answer a question based on your review of the previous deals that CWA would have had, maybe the last two rungs of the deals. Can you generally put into perspective how CWA is doing with the deals for distribution this time during COVID? Are we doing better or are we not doing as well as before COVID?
I'll put a little bit of context into it first. I mean, the world was turned upside down. And West Indies traveling to the UK for the tour last summer helped unlock cricket and unlock a lot of revenues. And without the West Indies doing that, not just ourselves, but many other countries in the world would be struggling to get any revenues at all at the moment, particularly as we've gone into this second wave. One of the great things that West Indies, that Cricket West Indies has learned and built up experience on is how to run cricket in a bubble, both overseas and here. And that is, it's an incredible experience. Obviously, we wouldn't want to have that experience, but it's allowed us to put on cricket. It's allowed us to support the CPL last year. It's allowed us to put on the Super 50 and now an all-format tour against Sri Lanka. So that's the context. To come back to it, I would say, ultimately, the market is different in different locations. We are probably, we've done better than we would have expected, given what has happened with COVID and when we went to the market, which was delayed for a number of reasons. But actually, the way we have worked, we're working with, media consultants who are experts at selling cricket rights around the world. We've got brilliant research and data. And actually, in terms of the agreements we've announced so far, they are all at the top end of our expectations. I would love to share with you those details, but we don't for a number of reasons. It doesn't make sense for us or for the broadcaster to say the specifics. But what we have achieved means that we will have very sustainable cricket and revenues that will help us invest into cricket. So they are at the top end of our expectations. Some markets will not be as good as we would like. And that is just because of the economies in certain markets. Nothing we can do about it. But overall, it's looking very promising. And as I say, we've got a few other markets to confirm. And indeed, some we will be actively just holding back on until the economies improve, because there's no point us going into a long-term agreement when the situation isn't right in a market. So we're looking at tactical situations for some markets, and you will see that we've signed long-term agreements with some of the major markets already. Particularly, I think in particular, the one for the UK is significant. I mean, that is a very, very big one with BT Sport and what they're going to be doing in terms of covering all cricket in the UK. And equally, the ESPN agreement for North America, for the USA, mm-hmm. is huge. West Indies cricket has not been on ESPN before. It's pretty much the biggest sports broadcaster in the world. Gets into 80 million households and, on 15 million people with devices on their ESPN Plus. So the opportunity for us to use West Indies and to grow the profile of West Indies in the USA, where everyone knows there's a big opportunity with Caribbean expats and a lot of Indian expats living in the US, it's a great, great opportunity for us. So everyone who's worked on it has worked very hard, and everyone should be very proud of what's been achieved so far.
We know of the constraints and the difficulties and the challenges, but the small businessman looks at revenue, and I know you can't give numbers, but is it greater or is it lesser? Can you answer that question?
It's difficult to say, and I'm saying this absolutely honestly, which is it's always based on the future tours calendar, which is based on what the ICC does with all of the rights holders. So fundamentally, it depends on the content you've got within a 4 to 5 year a 4 to 5 year window. One of the things that we are working very hard on is actually as a consequence of us supporting cricket and helping cricket getting relaunched, we think we will get additional cricket within our cycle, and that consequently will generate more television revenue for us. So on a relative basis, it's probably a little bit better than we've done. As I said, there's a couple of markets which pull that down because of issues. One of those would be the Middle East and North Africa, for example. The whole broadcast market has been turned on its head because of piracy issues, for example. Other areas like, as I said, North America, UK, Sub-Saharan Africa, New Zealand, those ones we've agreed are probably better than we expected. So I would say I'd wrap it up, Dr. Ford, and say it's good news. We're in a position to be a lot more sustainable, and we're in a position to make sure that we can invest into cricket for the long term as well. And that was always the danger of being late to market. It was always been the danger of not being able to get those revenues in, even with COVID. So given that context, we've done well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us, Dominique. You are an esteemed company. I mean, you've got Sir Clive Lloyd, Anthony Gray, Jonathan Carter, of course, Philo Wallace, and your very good friend, Roland Butcher. I'm sure you will be quite happy to be in such good company. So then, quickly, we are going to be having cricket on television tomorrow. Radio is confirmed. What time would we know, though? Because remember, the game starts at 6, you know? Not a lot of time to plan.
Yeah, that's obviously the reason we put the match to start at 6, just so we could sign all the contracts.
I see.
Sorry, I'm being flippant, of course. But
I know you are.
I think I can't say. I mean, there are just some commercial discussions.
Right.
We potentially have a very good partner who is very, very interested in growing their business with the West Indies cricket and getting West Indies cricket to as many people as possible. So I think people will be excited. I think the fact that we've got TV in terms of live TV, live radio, I don't think we've had 13 stations.
No,
certainly not.
Never.
13 countries Never. Covering.
And two new stations
West
as well.
Indies for a long time.
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting
and,
because...
I was just going to say the other thing is, which is for your listeners, you know, if you can't get to a screen or you can't get to a radio, one of the other aspects we've been trying to do for a long time is to make sure we got highlights clips
right.
and the highlights themselves on the West Indies social channels. So whatever happens, people will have a chance to get cricket for free and actually understand the story and see the wickets, see the runs, see the catches, and see the interviews. So that will be on our YouTube channel, on our social channels, and our website. And indeed, once we confirm the highlights and the live TV, even the radio, we've pretty much got everything covered. So we hope, you know, not every fan will be happy because obviously everyone wants to access it as for free and on the big screen. But we're doing our absolute best to maximize that reach for as many fans as we can.
Thanks to you, Dr. Warren. We've just given you a doctorate, of course, for your sterling work, work there as well. Thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us, and enjoy the rest of your evening. And we look forward to that big announcement tomorrow, maybe around 6 o'clock when I'm out jogging. Thanks to you, my friend. All right.
Thank you.
Let's go
Thanks
to
your support.
Sir Clive Lloyd. Sir Clive, your reaction to the West Indies T20 squad. I mean, I gave it to our listeners earlier. Are you happy with it, Sir Clive?
Well, Andrew, I'm just worried. No, we're not worried as such. I mean, we've got three guys who were in the late 30s, and I'm worried about injuries. And if they get injured, I'm hoping that the replacements, are adequate. Of such, because Mm-hmm. Don't forget, we are not playing against IPL teams where they must have three guys who are under 19 or whatever it is, the rule mm-hmm. that they have there. Mm-hmm. These are test teams. We have a fellow like Gale, who, you know, he's not going to give you too many quick singles.
No.
So he depends on hitting the ball, and it's going to take a little bit on his body to hit these fours and sixes, because mm-hmm. they're not going to be in that slot all the time. These guys these are test countries, so their approach would be a little bit different. So I'm hoping that they stay fit, because they've done extremely well in the one-day competitions throughout the world. But I'm just thinking that we don't have a spate of injuries mm. because then we'll have to throw it some people at the deep end.
Mm.
And I looked at a 50-over competition. We got one or two good little young cricketers that are coming through.
Right. So Clive, though, but I just want to come back to the Christopher Gale thing, though, and the Fidel Edwards and Dwayne Bravo. You spoke about their age, but you were at one stage chairman of selectors. Would you pick Gale now? Would you pick Fidel Edwards? And would you pick Bravo at this stage, Sir Clive?
Well, it all depends, as I said, with the situation as it is. I didn't know what was the situation with Gale.
Mm.
The point is that I didn't know if he had retired or what, because he hadn't played for us for what?
No.
Can you tell me how long ago that was? A couple of years?
Well, he would have played in, I mean, you, of course, you know, Gale comes back and he plays in the big tournament. Of course, you have had the 50-over tournament, the World Cup would have been the last time that he would have played in a major event for the West Indies. So you're going to find that these guys will come back and play in the World Cup, the big, those big tournaments, of course, World Cup and T20 World Cup.
Well, that's that's another thing we have to think of. Are these guys just coming back to play in these, big signature games?
Right.
Is that their plan? And if the selectors are looking at that, because it's not really fair on people who are playing in these competitions, and then somebody who hasn't played just turns up and gets chosen. You know, so I would think that some of the guys will be very disappointed. I have a friend like Evan Lewis. I saw him make 100 a couple of years ago at the Oval, and it was tremendous.
Mm.
But, you know, I think he's a good cricketer.
Mm.
I think, you know, we have, I was very impressed with this Avanache. Is Avanache? Mm. Avanache?
Athanase. He plays for the Windwards, and he's from Dominica. Good little player, good little cricketer.
Yeah. I think he's a good little cricketer.
Yes.
And they have one or two others that are thereabouts. A little guy, is it Smith from Guyana?
Yes, Niall Smith from Guyana.
Looks like he's got a little...
he looks good, Sir Clive, yes.
He's got a few... Yeah, I think he's got a few wheels.
Yes,
he might have been a little quicker than Anthony Gray.
Yeah.
I
didn't bowl against you, Sir Clive.
Well, that would have been the end of your career. So.
You're going to win.
I like that.
I think they have...
That woke me up, Andrew.
Yes, it did.
No, we do. I must say, Andrew, we have a good... We have some good youngsters.
Yes.
We have good cricketers around the place.
Right.
It's just fitting them in properly. And I've always maintained, whenever you're picking a side, you must have balance.
That's important.
Yeah. That's
balance is important. Right. You're correct. Okay. Thanks to Clive. Let's go back to Roland Butcher. Let's open the lines as well. 4341790. Give us a call. Tell us what you think of the mm-hmm. squad. I'm sure that many will want to react. Let's go back to Roland Butcher. And of course, Jonathan Carter is still with us as well. We heard from Jonathan Carter, Roland Butcher. You're a selector. You picked these players. You didn't pick Primus. You didn't pick an impact player because they had some challenges with the selection of your team. Are you embarrassed as a selector, as a member of the board of directors of the Barbados Cricket Association, that a country that puts so much money into cricket I mean, Barbados plays more cricket than any other country in the Caribbean, that you could go to a tournament and perform so poorly. Are you embarrassed, Roland Butcher? Talk to me.
Andrew, before I ask you a question, what I would like to say is congratulations to Trinidad for winning the tournament. I thought overall, on current form, I think they were the best side on current form to go through the tournament. So I got to give them credit for that. So that's the first thing I want to say. Really, congratulations to them.
Wonderful.
Thanks. Thank you.
Now, obviously, in terms of Barbados' performance, you know, we're all very disappointed. And I'm sure, Andrew, that the most disappointed people were the players, because the players themselves will know that, you know, that we've got a very good team and a team that was capable of winning the tournament. And I'm sure that right now, all of those guys are hurting, because they would know that they didn't perform to their max. And as a result, you know, Barbados ended up losing 5 of the 6 matches. So I know they would be extremely angry with themselves. For me, obviously, I'm disappointed, because I believe that, you know, they had what it took to win this tournament. In terms of what went wrong, I really don't know. I guess once we've had a debrief and find out how things were, then we perhaps get a little bit closer to why things turned out that way. But, you know, this team was, I think, in many ways very well prepared. There's no question about that. I think the preparation up to Christmas was first class. Didn't have perhaps the best preparation after Christmas. That was because, I think, of the COVID situation. Because ideally, what would have happened was that after Christmas, as well as the training, we would have had a number of matches, you know, to fine-tune the players before they actually went to Antigua. In January, that was not possible, because we were in lockdown more than the guys only could train a couple of, in very small numbers, so they couldn't play any matches.
Yeah, they have a couple of them.
I expected that we would have a slow start in the tournament. I didn't, because of that, you know.
I'm about to sleep. I have a couple.
But, you know, match practice is another thing. So I thought we'd have a slow start, but I expected that after that slow start,
right,
that, you know, our performance would pick up and the guys would go through into the tournament. But that never materialized. And obviously, fans, players, selectors, everybody obviously very disappointed, because we know and they know that we're better than them.
Roland, should heads roll over this?
Well, I mean, I don't know what heads are going to roll, because, you know,
it's a proud country, you know, Roland. We're not accustomed to this, Roland. Barbados is not accustomed to this, Roland.
They're not.
I'm sure Philo Wallace would fire people, and Tony Gray would make a recommendation.
But I mean, Andrew, you know,
talk to me.
What will come out of this now? Lessons will be learned to ensure that it doesn't happen.
Yes.
You don't really want it to happen at all, but it's happened.
But Roland, you changed the management team just before the players went off, Roland. What was that all about?
Andrew.
Yes.
Management team going.
My name is Andrew Roland. Yes.
Andrew Mason.
Yes.
And management team going and bat and ball and field.
Yeah.
Of course they didn't.
Okay.
So, there's nothing to do with the management.
Mm.
I mean, the players, and I know all of our players, and I know them personally.
Right.
Jonathan is on here. I know all the players personally.
Right.
I know the players will take it very hard, and they will take responsibility.
Right.
For what took place. You can't blame the management.
I'm not blaming the management. I'm just making an observation. I don't know if that had any influence, but I just thought it was important to...
Management teams change all the time, Andrew. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is life.
Okay, I see.
I have been in many teams where the management teams have changed and continue to change.
I see.
You know, that's part of life. So, listen, we have to learn from what happened there and guard against anything that ever happening again. Because, you know, because we perform like that, Barbados is not a bad team. You know, if anybody's going to tell me that we've got a bad team or we had a bad squad of players in Antigua, well, the conversation would end there. You know, we had a very good squad there.
Did you have impact players? Did you have impact players in your side, Roland? Could you name them? I got my pen.
What do you call an impact player? What do you call an impact player?
But you know what I'm talking about. Why are you asking me that? It's just rhetorical, Roland.
You're asking me what impact. I know we had a team there capable of winning the tournament.
Mm.
So no one player will win a tournament. You need one player might win a game for you. But one player is not going to win a tournament.
Strange decisions, though, Roland. It's a very strange decision. In the game against Guyana, against Jamaica, no Ruston chase bowling. And, what's happened to Roshan Primus? Is he fit? Was he eligible? I would think he's a type of player that I would have carried. Selectors might have made mistakes, too.
You know, you're restricted to 15 players, you know, and it is very difficult to take 16 when you only can take 15. Mm. So, Roshan Primus was not the only one, unfortunately, who missed out on this occasion. There were other players who you could see was deserving, but, you know, if you have to pick 15, you can't pick 16.
Oh.
That's the reality.
Well, Roland, the answer to that question is that I would have picked 15 and he would have been in it. Do you like that answer?
Well, I mean that is your.
You don't have to pick 16 to pick Roshan Primus Roland. What are you telling me? The guy should play. I do local cricket on Saturdays, right? I don't know what's the situation with this guy, but if I'm picking a side, I'm going to pick Roshan Primus. I'm going to pick him. Yeah,
well, I agree with you, Andrew.
Yeah,
him in the Barbados team,
of course.
He's value. He's a value cricketer. He's a better cricketer than some of those guys who went there.
Yes,
we need to be honest with our cricket.
Tell me who you would leave.
I would have left Nicholas Curtin home and carried Roshan Primus.
Mm.
You would?
Yes.
Mm.
But you carry Joshua Bishop. You carry
Chase was in the side as well. Ashley Nurse.
Chase in the side.
And Ashley Nurse.
Ashley Nurse. Why you want the extra spinner?
Oh,
Andrew. Andrew.
Yes.
You got the impact player.
Yes.
You pick an unbalanced side.
Nicholas Curtin did last year.
That has nothing to do with it.
No, he did.
The cricket that was being played in Antigua called for impact players. Half on.
All right, gentlemen, hold your horses. Tony, just hold your horse a minute because there are a lot of people trying to get through here. Let's take a first call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. Jonathan Curry, we're going to come to you shortly and your beard is getting as big as ever.